Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio in real time via ZipWhip landline texting at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
City Councilman Matt Kelly with us this morning as we usually get together almost monthly to talk city stuff. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Good to have you here. First time in the new year to have you. There was a FAMPO meeting last week, the Fredericksburg Area Metropolitan Planning Organization, and a lot of talk about transportation. And you talked about some really interesting things and some things that we've talked about on this show. You've been talking about for years and years and years, and
you get frustrated about.
Yeah, this. And it's come back again, and we're going to spend a lot of time this morning talking about transportation funding because, as usual, this area is not getting, in some cases, what you think you should be getting and what we should be getting, and it's you mentioned last.
Yeah, that's an interesting conversation because again, you'll have a lot of localities saying, "Well, we actually spend more money in your area, state money in your area than we do in others, or more than what you put in taxes into the system," and that's an argument to be made, but it really detracts from the fact that. You know, this region is the choke point on 95, mm-hmm. and we have some serious congestion issues. The state came back with HB2, which, of course, we changed to Smart Scale. And I guess the issue we're having with it as a region is, as we change the name, we change the rules. And, you know, it's getting a little tiresome to have to go through this process. As you know, we were looking to have the northbound 95 improvements approved this round of Smart Scale, and they have not ranked highly and are not on the list that is being recommended to the CTB. Having said that, that is not to say that the CTB cannot make some decisions, so I'm not saying it's totally dead, but it's got an uphill battle to face. But when you're looking at the list of projects and you have the 95 northbound, which has a very low rating for economic impact, and then you have a residential street in Spotsylvania County, which comes up with a much higher economic impact, you got to kind of start scratching your head.
Yeah. How does that happen? Well, I guess that's the question.
The question is we have a matrix. We have a matrix that looks at five areas, and we, the localities, got to choose, you know, how they would be weighted. I kind of bucked on that issue because for us, for example, you have safety, you have economic development, you have congestion, and there's environmental, and there's one more. And, you know, for us, if our biggest problem that is affecting this region economically, it's affecting this region with regards to safety on the roads is one thing and one thing alone, congestion. Congestion covers the whole gamut mm-hmm. of what we're trying to rate. So you got to question the matrix to begin with. But what they did was in the first round, when they looked at economic impact, they looked at the impact on the entire region from which the project was coming. Then at some point, somebody decided, well, no, we'll just look at 5 miles around the improvement. And so that's why northbound suddenly plummeted in the scores. And again, to say that improvements on 95, the artery of the East Coast, any improvement on 95 not only helps the region, it helps the state, it helps the Eastern Seaboard. And to say that that may not be the case is just frankly ludicrous. And hopefully the CTB will take that into consideration when they look at this project.
So there still is that hope that
there's still a hope that it's done. Another big issue that has been brought up in this process. Now, let me say something good. I know Hap was supposed to be here and is home with a cold, and I don't want to aggravate his condition, so I'll try to be a good boy today. Smart Scale does finally take the concept of, instead of putting little tiny pots of money on every project and you know, you put money on every project for 20 years just to keep it on the list. You know, we're now saying, no, we're not going to do that anymore. We, if we're going to fund a project, we're going to fund it to completion. And that is a good thing. The fact that we still have very little new money coming in. In fact, the amount of money coming to us the next round will be, if maybe equal to what we're getting now, potentially less. But then you look at the fact of, let's take VRE, for example. VRE improves VRE's improvements go outside the boundaries of FAMPO. It goes from Spotsylvania County and up to Northern Virginia. Mm-hmm. Yet when you build a infrastructure for VRE, new parking lots, again, when they look at the matrix, they're only looking at what impact does that have in that general area, Stafford County, Spotsylvania County. And it's not looking at it as how this fits into an overall plan for improving commuter rail.
Yeah, it's taking all those people off the road.
And, you know, that's not part of the matrix.
Yeah.
So, you know, there needs to be some change there. Another issue that has come up is, if we have such a limited amount of dollars, if you looked at the first round, a lot of trails projects got funded because they're small cost and everything else like that. I'm not against trails. I think trails are great and wonderful. Frankly, I think trails should be a local responsibility. But to put them in the mix with significant needed traffic improvements to draw dollars away is an issue. And we need to look at whether, one, we take that out of the mix completely, or drop it to what is called local projects or district projects, as opposed to projects of statewide significance. There's two pots of money. I'm not going to confuse everybody with the whole thing. And or limit the amount of money that we put towards those projects. So we do have money going to what we really need it for.
I didn't realize that the trails were part of that, because that just seems, like you say, everyone loves trails, but...
And here's my fear, and I mentioned this at the meeting. When we went to the first round of Smart Scale, our executive director, FAMPO, and I'm not jumping on his case about it, but he comes in, he looks, and he goes, Matt, you know, looking at this, what projects got funded, what we really need to do is bring forward a lot more trails projects, because trails projects are going to get funded. And I'm going, you know what, as much as I like trails projects and everything else like that, we need to stay focused on congestion and moving traffic. And my fear is now, as localities, instead of really looking at what the overall needs of the community are, it's going, how do I game the process just to get more money to my community? Which means I put in three trails projects last time. Maybe we should put in five. You know, we might not get our big ones, but we'll get all our little ones. And suddenly this money is being, you know, shifted away, frankly, from where it's needed.
Yeah. No, and you think about, comes time for re-election, you can point to the fact, I got these trails. Now, the traffic is not any better, but I got these trails.
That's, you know, there's, which rolls into another discussion we'll probably carry on in the next break. But, you know, we as local elected officials really have a few options. You know, option one is to continue to do nothing. Option two is to do the good political solution to all issues, which is blame somebody else.
Yeah.
You know, our roads are congested, but it's not our fault. It's the state and the feds. You know, like option A, it still doesn't get us anywhere, but politically it might help us, because then everybody can get mad at somebody else and leave us alone. Or there's option C of, what do we really have to do to get the funding necessary to meet our transportation needs? And that's a discussion that we're trying to have.
And that's what we're going to talk about when we come back. City Councilman Matt Kelly here. More on Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We're talking transportation this morning with City Councilman Matt Kelly here. We took the break where you were talking about how politicians can approach this by doing nothing, doing the political view of saying it's
just
not
blame
my fault.
Everybody else.
Or number three, to actually
try to do something.
And that's where we get into where when I read your comments from the FAMPO meeting last week, where you talked about this region, doing kind of what Northern Virginia and Hampton Roads has done about the localities getting together and setting up tax districts or things. And
we call it transportation districts. Don't mention the T.
Tax. Yes. But I remember us having these conversations 10 years ago.
Well, actually, if you remember correctly, and I'll take this opportunity to point it out, the big improvements we're now, half the improvements we're now doing on 95, hopefully all on 95, and there needs to be some additional work added to the mix. The project that we're doing on 95 southbound, northbound, were actually locally generated projects. It was part of a larger project that we were going to self-fund. If you remember correctly, we set up a tolling district.
Yeah.
We have a tolling district on. We haven't gotten rid of it because we were looking at that as one option to start helping us, you know, fund additional projects. At the meeting on Monday night, I did a little bit different approach. What's happened, what's clearly happened in this round of Smart Scale, is the projects that really scored highly had a lot of local money put forward to the project. And again, Northern Virginia and Hampton Roads are in a position to do that, and therefore their projects are scoring much higher than ours on the bigger projects. So one thing coming out again here is we are going to need to probably come up with more, we need to come up with more local match on projects to get them to score better if we're going to want them to get funded. So the question is, how do we do that? And on Monday night, I did not push or mention, I had mentioned in prior meetings the possibility of a transportation district, which is a special taxing district, but just looked at my colleagues and said, all right, we know this is an issue. Each one of you, tell me what your recommendations are for coming up with matching funding for our projects to get them better scored. And I got absolutely zero response.
Nothing.
Nothing. You know, everybody wants, you know, Spotsylvania has put projects over $1 billion. They want two interchanges going down 95. Yeah. They want the CD roads to extend. They want everything going down, you know, from here to Massaponics. Yet there's no effort to come up with a plan on how we're going to get the funding to do that.
Yeah.
So I guess right now the option we're adopting as a region is, it's not our fault. It's the state and feds. They're not giving us enough money. Well, if you take that argument, you know, where are the state and feds getting the money from? You know, it's still from us, ultimately.
Yeah.
You know, this whole thing, that's their money, this is our money, is kind of a BS argument. It's all of our money is coming from the same sources. But, and even I'm not saying necessarily we have to do a special taxing district. If we can reprioritize our spending and come up with the fundings within our respective budgets and dedicate it to transportation, let's look at that. I would think it would be great if the state and the feds actually sat down and said, you know what, maybe it's time for us to prioritize where we should be focusing our efforts on and take money from this group and shift it into transportation or whatever. So as far as I'm concerned, everything is on the table, but we don't have a lot of time. We've got 2 years. We're going to have even less money in 19, I think is the next round. And we're going to go in there, again, with no way to match off on our bigger projects. And Northern Virginia and Hampton Roads are just going to come in and, with their bigger projects, half funded by local funds, and we're going to get nowhere.
Well, and again, when this came up and it was shot down a while ago, and I remember you saying the same thing back then. We've got to come up with some way to do this locally. And in a lot of ways, you think about the way the state doesn't fund deputies or doesn't fund any number of things that you have to then do locally to get it done. And that's kind of what you're looking at here.
Well, that's the issue of a lot of what we get from the state is an interesting discussion unto itself. But you're right. The fact of the matter is what we get from the state based on what their obligations are for funding are woefully lower than what they should be. And I have the greatest respect for the speaker, and I agree with him. I'm not a big person who loves to see more and more taxes being paid. I think, you know, most people should keep as much money as they possibly can. But stand there and say, hey, we're holding the line on your taxes by basically just shifting the burden to local government to come up with the difference is, frankly, a little disingenuous. And that's another issue that at some point needs to be really thoroughly discussed.
Well, and this whole idea of losing money for 95, because I think it's not the first time this has happened. I think of the 630 interchange up in Stafford is being funded much less than initially.
The bump in the road for Stafford, let's be honest about it, was a political bump in the road. That was a number one project that FAMPO has had, and it was the reason it was a number one project is we built the airport, we built the airport interchange as a condition of building that interchange. Federal Highways came back and says, you will improve the 630 interchange.
Okay.
So it was basically a mandated project from the feds. And we finally got it funded, and then we started the smart scale. And it suddenly, oh, no, we're going to go ahead and, you know, look at that under HB2 or smart scale. And that was just, frankly, a blatant political move between the governor and speaker.
Yeah, I was going to say, I did forget
about that. Which is, you know, you don't want to see that either.
Yeah.
The biggest problem with transportation planning is you've got politicians doing it for the most part or making the final decisions. And, you know, we've had this conversation a number of times too. Our life is a 4-year cycle or 2-year cycle, whatever it may be. And we make decisions based on that cycle instead of saying, with transportation, I need to look 20 years out. I need to look 30 years out. You know, what's the plan? You know, how are we going to fund all this over the next 30 years or 20 or whatever? And we can't do it.
When you saw that with the numbers that came back and what you were going to get, you of all people, having seen how this process works, couldn't have been too surprised that we didn't get what you are. Were you genuinely surprised?
I think the general view with FAMPO was that unfortunately, because we did so, and again, we did so well in the first round, that we were going to take a hit on the second round. And also understand the amount of money that was brought in on the second round. You know, we're now going down. So the amount of money available is less than it was the first time around. We were actually expecting to get northbound, but not a lot of other projects. But instead, we got some other projects and northbound didn't get. And again, if we are looking at what the reason for smart scale is, which is we need to make improvements on our highways and byways, I would think that anything that can improve traffic flow on I-95 is critical. Mm-hmm. And we need to have not only the northbound done, to make the CD roads work, we need that greenway going into Spotsylvania County or something like it so we can separate residential traffic from the commercial traffic flow.
Well, a few years ago, when then-Governor McDonald got through the House Bill 2 and everyone was celebrating all this money. I remember sitting
there
right here.
There was no money with it.
Yeah.
It was just a process.
Yeah. And I remember you saying this is not the end of transportation problems.
No, it's again, ultimately we really have two choices, and that is two things actually. I wouldn't say choices that we need to do. It's one, we need to reform the process. Streamline it. And two, and this is where local government does come into. And I think I'm about to be a broken record again. I think I've mentioned it every single time I've been on the show. We all have comp plans that we cannot provide the infrastructure to support. Just can't do it.
Yeah.
And we really do need to go back and look at land use issues. And if we're not going to get, all right, if we're not going to have the money to build these $1 billion of projects down 95 or in Spotsylvania or Stafford County, then we as local elected officials need to be honest with the public and say, look, we can't support this level of development. We're going to have to step back a little bit and reevaluate how we're going to develop as localities.
Well, Chris Jakubowski was here just the other day from Spotsylvania, and he mentioned with just the economy showing just even a little bit of life, he's concerned that a lot of projects that the Spotsylvania board in recent years has already approved, saying these aren't going to be built for 20 or 25 years, maybe built a whole lot sooner, and there may be some new problems.
What's been interesting to me, even in the city, and again, whereas the counties are looking at projects in the thousands of houses, and we look at them in the tens and 15s and 30s timeframe, what has really been interesting to me, and I mentioned this to staff, is every time a project of that magnitude comes, it has to come with a traffic impact study. And I have yet to read a traffic impact study that says my project is going to have any detrimental effect on transportation. Yeah. Or, hey, if we extend this turn lane about another 200 feet, everything will be just hunky-dory. And, you know, one of the things I've asked staff in regards to our project is, if they've got to do a transportation study, give us the money and let us hire the transportation engineering firms and let us do the study.
Yeah.
Because all these projects that have been approved in the last few years have come with this, oh, don't worry about traffic, or we'll give you these little improvements. And no, it's not going to help. And we don't look at that impact when we approve the projects. We just look at, oh, wow, it's going to be X amount of dollars of real estate tax rates. Ooh, hoo, hoo. You know, we're going to have much more money to spend. No, you're not. Because a lot of money's going to get sucked into services, police, fire, and everything else.
City Councilman Matt Kelly here this morning. We are talking transportation. We will continue when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA, coming up on 8:30.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Transportation, our big focus this morning with City Councilman Matt Kelly. We'll get into a couple of other things before we get out of here. Matt, as we were talking in the last segment, and you talked about how instead of when it came time to talk about the future and ideas, you've given your ideas over the years, and you wanted to get the feeling of what other ideas they had, and everyone sat there and didn't have an idea. Given that fact, how encouraged are you that anything's going to come out of this, and that it will change, and that 2 years from now we're not having the same conversation?
Well, one of the dynamics that's beginning to shift, and I'm hoping they'll get more involved and hopefully help us get the general public involved in this discussion, is the Chamber of Commerce has really stepped up to the plate for us in regards to understanding. I mean, they've had now three or four different little symposiums, and they all acknowledge that right now, continuing down the road we're going is just unsustainable from a business perspective. Businesses are losing money, losing time. And, you know, when the business community starts getting antsy, politicians hopefully will start getting antsy too. FRA is the same way. FRA wants to get involved in these discussions. At the end of the meeting, you know, I did establish a committee, and we have to have a report back to the board by March to make our recommendations and comments on the process, the smart scale process, and the issues we have, which we've talked about some of them. And we've asked that the Chamber of Commerce be part of that discussion. FRA has already contacted us and says, listen, we've got all the demographic information on businesses that would not locate here because of the traffic issues and all the problems they're having in trying to market the region because of traffic. And we need to see that. And I'm hoping when that pressure starts playing on local politicians, and I think we do need to do a better job relating to the public. You know, I'm not telling the public or in any way saying that we have to do this. All I'm saying to the public is I've always wanted to say, all right, if you want to do this, if you want to have uncongested roads and a better trip and a better quality of life, it's going to cost this. Tell me if you want to pay it. If you don't want to pay it, fine. Then stop complaining and, you know, whatever else like that. If you want it, you need to be willing to what we need to do. So tell me which way you go, we want to go, and we'll go in that direction. But I think with the FRA and the information they have available, I know with Chamber of Commerce being involved, that we can develop a really good regional dialogue and start looking at ways to do things and at least, again, get the dialogue started.
Well, that would get people's attention because, well, last week Spotsylvania had a couple of announcements of some businesses coming, and that's what politicians doesn't like to talk about that, but when it does get to the point where businesses are telling the Fredericksburg Regional Alliance or others that, you know, that
no, traffic is just getting too much, and there's other places we can go and still be within distance of Washington.
Yeah.
You know, you look at Orange, Culpeper, and all that area, and they kind of go, hey, this is a nice area to be in, still in the same distance. You know, why do I want to fight the traffic on, you know, I-95 or whatever else like that?
So. Yeah. Now, when I saw the write-up of in the paper after the meeting, the FAMPO meeting last week, and just some of your quotes, I thought, this is 10, 12 years ago, we were having this same discussion. And you have talked over the years, always consistently, about we're running out of time, and it continues.
And that dynamic needs to change. I mean, we've already kind of crossed the line now with what's been approved in the counties already for development, and things are going to cause us some big problems as they're built out. And again, all sources of money are you know, starting to get reduced. Not only that, you're going to see a change in 2021-2022 timeframe with regards to the allocation of transportation dollars, more going to state of good repair. We're going to shift more money to maintenance, less money to road construction. We're running out of the money from, you know, the last round, last bill that gave us the additional pump in of money under the McDonald's administration, and that's going away. So it's getting harder and harder, and we are going to have to come up with more innovative ways of dealing with traffic, either through, you know, frankly, changing our comp plans, you know, looking at local sources of funding if we can and what they would be. I'm not saying necessarily taxes. But something has got to change. And again, we're now, I think, have crossed that line. And we're now, I think, more in a maintenance mode. Can we at least try to maintain the quality of life that we have and not continue to degrade it? And unless there's a discussion that gets started pretty soon, that's not going to happen.
We've been talking here this morning about projects that didn't get near the amount of money you were hoping or expected. Did other projects not get funded at all?
Well, a lot of projects don't get funded. What threw us a little bit for a loop is we got word back that some of our projects weren't even going to be evaluated. They didn't even make it on somebody's table look at. And for the city, and I kind of knew this was coming because when we put this project in, it's Beulah-Salisbury Road. It's a very small project, $600,000+, if I remember correctly. And for us, it's primarily a safety issue. It's the tanker trucks coming out of the tank farm.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, trying to make turns when they're having to come into oncoming traffic to make a turn. And, you know, our fire departments, both Spotsylvania and staff and the cities have consistently said our biggest fear is one of the suckers getting T-boned and having a problem. And then when you look at, we got the two tank farms there, we got a propane look facility over there.
Yeah.
You know, it's an issue. And when we put it in, initially we had a conversation with VDOT and said, listen, you know, you have us in this boxed into this matrix, but here's a project that doesn't fit. It's strictly for us a safety project. And, you know, how are you going to deal with that? And when I put it to the board, I actually asked us to send a letter saying, please consider this project. We understand it doesn't fit the matrix, but, and it didn't even, it got pulled right off the list. And we had a meeting and Hap said, Hap Connors, our CTB rep, Commonwealth Transportation Board rep, set up a meeting with local VDOT saying, we need to understand for future applications what happened and why these, and there were some projects in Stafford pulled. And the response from district staff was, we don't know. And it's not their fault.
Yeah.
It really isn't. They're not the ones evaluating.
Yeah.
You know, that's being done at another level. And they said, frankly, we can't tell you. And I said, well, wait a minute. If you're going to tell us these projects aren't a go, you've got to at least be able to explain to us
why.
So we can, you know, figure out accordingly and move forward smartly. And eventually it came back, and one of the reasons with the Beulah-Salisbury Road is supposedly coming from on high in the governor's office, there was a determination made that if there's other funding sources for a project that could be done outside of Smart Scale, let's shift those projects over. And there is a funding source for Industrial Entrance Fund, which has money for road improvements and industrial economic development opportunity, whatever things. And it's kind of like, okay, if we'd known about this,
yeah,
we could have, you know, done it. And the fact of the matter is we're now taking that project through that process. And if we get the funding for it, the project will be done a lot sooner than it would have been done through Smart Scale. So, you know, here's another aspect of this is we have got this transportation dollar so spread out in different little pots, you know,
yeah.
CMAQ funding and all this other stuff. transit funding and funding going to railroad. How in the heck are we supposed to know where we're to apply for funding?
Right. I was going to say, if the local office doesn't even know to say, hey, why don't you try this? Somebody needs to be able to put a little something at the bottom
that's
and
one of the
say.
Right now, they're looking at reevaluating matching funds, which for us is kind of an important thing. I mean, one thing that people need to understand about the city of Fredericksburg is VDOT doesn't take care of our roads.
Yeah, right.
We get an allowance from VDOT, which covers maybe half of the actual cost, and the rest of when we talk about, you know, new dollars coming to transportation from a locality, we're already doing it.
Yeah.
Because we've got to pay close to half our maintenance on our own. And, you know, part of their rationale is, you know, shouldn't we just take the money that's usually allocated for match and just put it into the mix for Smart Scale or something like it? And there was also some concerns that localities were using their matching funds from the state to match other projects dollars coming from the state feds. And they thought, you know, that's kind of playing games with the money.
Yeah.
Should we allow that? And so there's been some, and I think CTB is going to be discussing at their next meeting in a month or so about what the future of match is. One thing we do know that's going to happen with matching funds too is the amount of dollars going into matching funds is going to go down. So, you know, everything is money-wise or resource-wise is from the state and feds is going down.
Yeah.
And our project needs are going up. So, all right, general public, tell me what you want to do.
Well, in the city, you think of – I can't even think now how many years, but whether it's been the bridge or now the widening of Fall Hill Avenue, that – hopefully will be done sometime this spring.
Fall Hill Avenue is an interesting project in the sense that when I came back on council, the money available that the state was going to provide for that was only going to widen the bridge and then four-lane it to Wicklow Drive where the intersection is with the lights. So taking about a few hundred yards.
Oh, well, so nothing on the hill or anything?
Nothing. And, you
hill
know,
to the bridge.
And this is another thing, and it's kind of like, wait a minute. If you spend $35+ million or whatever million dollars you're going to spend on this, it's going to have absolutely zero impact.
Yeah.
So why spend the money? If we're going to do the project, do the project.
Right.
And I got to give Cord Sterling, who was our CTB rep at the time, and Cord and I and staff got together, and we started looking all over the place, you know, where we could find money to just do the whole project. And thankfully, we're doing the whole project. But that was a close call.
Yeah, because you think of that you'd be that close, and then everything would just
funnel down.
You know,
you have a nice, big, beautiful bridge.
Yeah.
You have pedestrian access going down to Wicklow Drive, and boom, that was it.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Now you're going to. Now you've got, you go to the bridge, and you can go off to the hospital
way. And you go on down. They're finishing up, of course, the improvements on Jeff Davis Highway. I mean, if you're going to do the project, you know, you can be very thrifty, but at the same time have limit your impacts. And when you get to the point where you're spending money and getting nothing for it, I mean, and they were actually looking at doing that. And you got to wonder where that, you know, how did you get to this point?
Well, because I look at today, you take a look at, I mean, in years ago, it was as controversial. If we'd been here talking about it then, you look at the Blue Gray Parkway and how that has just saved congestion from all kinds of congestion from the city. But in its day, that was fought
after. But also remember, the Blue Gray Parkway was supposed to be an outer beltway. That was supposed to have been built when everything to the west was still cows and farms. And by the time they got around to building it, boom. I mean, it's a big help for us, and it does relieve congestion downtown. But for the most part, you know, its role was kind of greatly diminished because of the amount of time it took them to build the damn thing.
Yeah.
Which goes back to the need to reform the process of projects. If you're going to get them, you need to streamline it where we can get these projects built and online a lot faster than they are.
Yeah, which I guess, I mean, I don't know. It seems like the Fall Hill Avenue project that seems to have gone faster than some others.
Skin, but not by much. And a lot of that was weather related. No, they've done a pretty good job.
But even just the time it's been talked about and from the time it was talked about to being done.
No, you know, everything really did align for that project. I mean, you know, the gods smiled on us and everything just fell right into place for that project.
That will be, but that's supposed to be what, late, sometime in April, I guess.
April is when they're supposed to be finished.
We're talking transportation this morning with City Councilman Matt Kelly. We'll wrap it up with a couple of other things when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
City Councilman Matt Kelly here. We've been talking transportation. It's kind of transportation. Well, it is transportation related. City has it. I don't know if it's still going on. There was the, you could go online and take a parking survey.
And well, the parking surveys, a lot like the ACA when they first rolled it out.
It wasn't ready.
It wasn't ready.
Yes, I heard a lot of complaints.
Yeah, so did I. So it has been revamped, and I have not looked. I have not looked at the latest permeation. And I also got, you know, it's interesting in talking to different people about it. This is a committee that was set up with the city manager, and Dr. Duffy and Billy Withers, the vice mayor, are the council representatives on it, so I'm not directly involved in it. But they're supposed to be looking at, you know, parking within the city and what we need to do. It's not supposed to be just downtown, but if you talk to people up in College Heights who have the issues with the university, it's,
yeah,
all they want to talk about is downtown. All they want to do is talk about downtown.
Whenever I am at anything up in that area of town, it's gotten very hard now to park anywhere because it's
well,
just
you,
so
you know,
restricted.
You have the train station issue, you yeah. have downtown issue, and you do have the college issue that they all need to be dealt with. I keep pointing out to my colleagues that if you really look at downtown parking, and especially now when we're looking at the Riverfront Park, we've lost significant amount of parking opportunities downtown, mm-hmm. either through new construction or now you see a lot more lots that says, you know, employee parking for this business only, you will be towed. The lot behind Spencer Devon being a classic example that
yes.
had always been a public lot. Mm-hmm. Now it's not. So I understood the need to look at parking citywide, but I'm hoping that, you know, we've had a parking plan in place since 2004. On what we want to do. Can we just go ahead and get ready and do it? I think we have some opportunities and some land where we can build some additional parking. Instead of, you know, when we did the bank building purchase and you know, staff came back and said, well, look, well, now we've got new parking. No, we didn't. You just brought back parking that had already been
yeah.
public parking for years. And you just brought it back into the mix. You know, we approved, you know, council approved Sedona House with no parking. And, you know, as you said, you parked what? How many blocks away?
I parked a long ways away.
I mean, it's an economic development, I guess some will say boon for the city that it's there because it's doing so well. But when you look at the overall expenditures for a restaurant or gross receipts for a restaurant, when they sold Sedona House to the council, it was first $3 million a year. Then it was dropped to $2 million a year. You go online and look what an average Chipotle, an average Chick-fil-A, an average McDonald's, an average Burger King makes. They all make $2+ million a year.
Yeah.
So, you know, you put this in perspective, you know, that probably would have done a lot better job in Eagle Village than downtown for the city.
But a bit more parking,
reason,
yeah. Yeah.
And again, it was also an issue for me there with not only the parking issue, it's just fitting in, you know, to the downtown, and that building does not even come close to fitting in.
Yeah, yeah.
And nobody, I don't think anybody disagrees with
no,
that.
No, you
and
can
why
see
would
that.
At least ask that it be built to, you know,
look,
at least
a, little
look a little better,
mm-hmm.
would have been nicer. But again, we get into this habit of, oh my God, we're going to get all this money.
There's going to be a parking, there'll be a report on parking?
There's going to be a report coming out on parking, what the recommendations
in
are.
March or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
And we'll have another confab now that we've had God knows how many confabs in the last decade about parking and how we're going to deal with it.
But now you're serious about parking. We've gotten serious about it.
I thought we were serious back in 2004. I mean, we kind of laid it out and, you know, had all the meetings and did all this stuff. But now I guess we got to do it again.
We've only got a couple minutes left. There's one other issue, the trailer park issue that the council's dealing
yeah,
with.
Yeah, there's two issues with the trailer park. Is actually how do we, you know, when it first came up and the silver companies took it over and I went down and talked to Judd and the silver companies, which would have been a good first step instead of immediately saying, oh, you're all being evicted, because that was the courts. Now that there's a new
yeah.
property owner, that's put off. And I think from the standpoint of the residents, the silver companies will make help them out in moving expenses when the time comes and everything else like that. But it really pointed to a bigger issue, which is housing in our communities for people with disabilities and stuff who can't afford a house and necessary apartment. Average apartment here is over $1,000. And there is a regional task force currently operating on workforce housing through GWRC. And we took a trip just before Christmas or a month or two before Christmas down to Charlottesville to see, you know, the term is SRO, single resident occupancy facilities. And as this continued to move forward, I kind of talked to the city manager and says, let's not stop and wait for the train wreck to happen and everybody rushing around. Let's keep working with the with the residents. But at the same time, let's look at, you know, in the future, when situations like this, we do need to have housing for people who frankly can't afford the housing stock we have here. Should we look at ways of providing it? And then we have a FUSE program, which is taking HUD is basically saying homeless have got to go from the ground into a house. And this is a 2-year program where we're going to kind of track 10 people in housing and, you know, do we provide the proper services for them? How successful is it? How much money does it save us? Okay. Which will result in a report that will add into that conversation on housing for those, you know, disabled or whatever.
So this will be something that comes up fairly soon?
We hit a bump in the road because we've been working with the Central Virginia Housing Coalition and they've had some issues recently. But we've got the real estate community, we have the development community sitting at the table, the social services. I mean, you need to have all the players at the table so everybody can understand where everybody's coming from. The development community says, I spent $1 million on this piece of land, I got to get some of my money out of it, so please stop screaming at me about doing this, and this. But if you can, localities provide us some incentives, maybe we can build, you know, as part of our project. And that's kind of where the conversations are going. So we got to deal with the immediate needs of that community, but we also got to look long-term on how we're going to deal with this community in the future and housing.
You had mentioned it, Commonwealth Transportation Board, our area rep, Hap Connors, was supposed to be here this morning. He couldn't because of sickness. Maybe we'll get you two together.
Yeah, he won't get too mad at me.
And if he did, we'll try to soothe feelings maybe in the next month or so. Matt, thank you, sir, so much for coming in.
Thank you very much for having me.
City Councilman Matt Kelly here this morning. That's it. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.